Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. And it's dry tonight. I mean, can you believe that? I feel like I was afraid I'd have to swim here after the last 10 days. But it's we're glad that you're with us. If you're a new listener, I am Scott Greenberg. This is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're here every Monday at 6 o'clock, and we talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We have a lot of fun. You can call us with your questions. It's a fascinating hour. Tonight's especially fascinating. I cannot wait for tonight's show. We're on, of course, 95.9 True Oldies here in Palm Beach, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. If you're listening on Monday, it's live. Please be careful if you're on 95 or on the Turnpike. In either event, we're glad that you're with us. So what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, everybody listening at this very moment has heard the term HIPAA. You all sign HIPAA releases and you all talk and everybody says, no, I can't do that because of HIPAA, or you got to let me do this. A HIPAA says you got to sign this and all of that. But we don't really understand it. I mean, none of us understand. I got to be honest, I don't understand it. Well, somebody does, and my guest tonight is that person. So she's going to help decipher it for all of us. And it is really interesting. Jacqueline Bain is here. I'm going to call her Jackie after that for the rest of the night. But Jacqueline Bain is here. And she is an attorney that specializes in health care law. That is all that she does. We're going to talk to Jackie, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her in just a moment. But first, I want to give a special thank you to Barrington Terrace in Delray Beach for hosting Tino, my son-in-law, and myself for 5 weeks at our dementia workshop. They are a great community, and they are showing us unbelievable hospitality. We began last week, but if you are interested, there is still time. We're going to meet for 4 more weeks, Fridays at 2 o'clock at Barrington Terrace in Delray. I'm going to tell you how you can get more information in just a second, so get that pencil. I also conduct, along with Tino, a monthly support group for family caregivers who are struggling with a member of their family who has Alzheimer's or dementia. We do that the first Thursday of every month, which happens to be 2 days from today. We do that at Pacifica Senior Living in Green Acres. It's also at 2 o'clock. We've been doing that for years. We have a core group, but we can always use more. So if you're dealing with a family member and you'd like some help in coping or talk to others who are going through what you're going through, come to see us at Pacifica Senior Living at 2 o'clock on Thursday. And then lastly, we're going to be starting a brand new support group in Boca Raton at Artist Senior Living, which is on Federal Highway north of Yamato. We're going to do it on the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays at 4 o'clock at Artist Senior Living, and that will begin the 4th Wednesday of this month. So for this and for the other things that I mentioned, if you have any questions, call us at the office, 561-630-1620. That's 531-630-1620. But now to my guest, Jacqueline Bain, Jackie. Jackie is part of a highly select group of Florida licensed attorneys with both deep healthcare industry experience and a certification in healthcare compliance by the Healthcare Compliance Association. Her background is focused on corporate transactions for healthcare providers and businesses. She regularly lectures in the community, which is where I met her, and she routinely advises her clients about statutes and regulations that govern healthcare businesses. She graduated from the State University of New York at Albany, and I don't know that I've mentioned this to you. My daughter graduated from Albany.
Yes.
She graduated magna cum laude, and she got her degree, her law degree, at Buffalo Law School. So, Jackie, welcome to Oh My God. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. All right. What the hell is HIPAA? I mean, seriously, what is HIPAA, and why should we care?
So HIPAA is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996. It's been updated a couple of times, most notably the HITECH Act, which came out at the end of 2009-ish, and then the omnibus rule, which came out in 2013. So it's been updated a little bit. But basically what HIPAA does is it provides a way for healthcare providers to give you or give someone your health information. Everybody thinks that HIPAA is a privilege that they can hide behind. It's not that. It's more of a process for the disclosure of your information. So it's like, how can I tell Scott about what's going on in my mom's life? How do we do that? What's the process for us to disclose that information to you?
I think many people, though, I mean, you said it's a disclosure vehicle, but most people think of it as exactly the opposite.
Something to hide behind.
Most people think that is their protection. That's the shield that prevents me from giving any information at all to anyone at all, having anything to do with you having come into my doctor's office.
Sure. Right? And that's, I think it's a common misconception. HIPAA, you have to, we're in 2018 now. You got to think about HIPAA as everything's confidential, right? Think about what happened at Target a few years ago. Right. Everything's confidential. So start from an area of everything's confidential and then move to a, but how can I disclose? That's what HIPAA does.
All right. And so in Florida, right, not that we're not confused enough, and we're going to drill down more about this. In Florida, there is a FIPAA in addition to HIPAA. Well, what is FIPAA?
FIPAA is the Florida Information Protection Act. It came out in 2014. It's new here in Florida. But you have to, when you think about laws, you've got your federal law, so that's HIPAA, and then you have your state law, and that's FIPAA. That's the Florida Information Protection Act. So what FIPAA does is it imposes even greater regulation for people living in Florida and businesses that are located in Florida to protect information and disclose it.
And which takes precedence, the federal HIPAA or the state FIPAA, or are they really pretty much the same?
No, they're not the same. I would say they both are equally important. FIPAA is much broader than HIPAA. It encompasses not only healthcare providers, but basically anyone who even takes your credit card information. But it includes medical information and health insurance information. So it includes, I guess it kind of narrows down what you do when you've got HIPAA. You deal with HIPAA first and then you deal with FIPAA afterward, recognizing that your timelines for if you need to disclose a breach or something like that under HIPAA, you've got 45 days from the time you should have known of the breach. Under FIPAA, you only have 30. So when you have, or when a business has a breach, you know, this is kind of what I do. I know we're talking more in the individual sense today, but businesses, the first thing they need to do when they think they have a breach is contact an attorney or contact a consultant, somebody to help them to determine whether or not they need to disclose, because your timeline for disclosing that breach is so short. 30 days seems like a long time, but when you're dealing with attorneys, as most people who've ever dealt with attorneys know, it's actually quite short.
Right. So you talk about breach. What constitutes, maybe I shouldn't ask that first, but what constitutes a breach? I mean, what could I do as a home health agency? I mean, again, I don't talk about that much here, but what could I do that would be so egregious that I would have to have a plan of correction and take action and hire an attorney? And what could I do wrong?
I mean, it can go from a breach from one person. Say you're out in the community, you're out to dinner with your wife, and you're talking about a patient that you have, and somebody overhears it. It could be from something as small as that, all the way up to you've got a jump drive, and it's got all your patient information on it, and you had it in your pocket when you took it to the laundromat, and it's not in your pocket when you come home from the laundromat. And that could be affecting all of the patients in your community. And so every time you have an incident like that, whether it's out to dinner with your wife and the person behind you taps on your shoulder and says, "Hey, are you talking about Joe Smith of 123 Main Street who has dementia?" or the loss of a jump drive, those are all breaches.
You know, that's really interesting, because I, I tell a story in some of my public speaking. I tell a story about, particularly in the world of dementia, making sure you call people by their proper name. All right. So
sure.
I've told this story a number of times, and the fellow I'm talking about has long since died, so I'm probably protected.
50 years.
50 years?
50 years.
All right. Well, somebody will know who I'm talking about. But anyway, I was involved with a family, and I was helping him read his long-term care insurance policy, and it wasn't really for him. It was for his wife, and they had a policy. It was both the same. And I'm reading the policy. I said, yeah, who the hell is Sherman? I don't know who the hell Sherman is. All right. He said, that's me. But that's not the name we used to call him by. He had a nickname. I never knew he had a name other than that. And I once was giving the story, and I gave the guy's name out. I'm not going to do it now because it's not 50 years. All right. I gave the guy out, and somebody said, oh, you're talking about him over at Del Air. He said, oh, I remember him. I used to play golf with him. And I thought, damn, uh-oh, I screwed up.
Yeah, right? You did. Yeah,
so that's a violation, yeah, right?
It is.
So who is subject to the rules about HIPAA? I think people don't understand how that chain of events goes.
Sure. So HIPAA really only applies to kind of four classes of person. The first is your healthcare providers. So that's your hospitals, your doctors, your home care networks, people who create what we call protected health information. So you go to the doctor, they make up a medical record associated with your encounter. That's your first. Second is your insurance companies, because they deal with obviously a lot of health information. The third is health clearinghouses, which nobody really understands, honestly, and I don't necessarily think it's right for the population listening to this show. But if you think you're a health clearinghouse, maybe do a little more digging. And the fourth is the business associates, which are the businesses that service your healthcare providers, your insurance companies, and your clearinghouses. So they take the information and maybe process it, use it in their business in order to kind of effectively help healthcare providers. So this is your billing companies, the attorneys who work with your healthcare providers, their accountants, if their accountants have any access to a patient information, which isn't honestly normal, but it could come up. And so those are the people that are subject to HIPAA. And nobody else.
So the one person you didn't mention is the individual.
That's true.
Right? So individuals are not subject to HIPAA, but they're affected by HIPAA greatly.
Of course. So if, say, in your family, your mom is ill and the daughter is talking about what's going on with her mom, that's totally okay. There's no HIPAA privilege there. HIPAA privilege is my favorite misnomer because it's not something that it's not a privilege.
Right.
A daughter can talk about her mom's ailments to anybody, whoever she wants, all the time. If the daughter has mom's medical record, she can show it to whomever she wants. Now, the doctor who has made the medical record can only show it to the person who he made it for, and whoever else that person wants you to
the designee, right?
Exactly.
The designee.
And it could be anybody. But our biggest thing when we talk to our provider, our healthcare provider clients, is use your common sense. If a patient comes in and says to you, I really don't want my daughter knowing what's going on with my heart, then you don't tell the daughter what's going on with mom's heart. But if the patient comes in and all of a sudden has a heart attack and the son is with them, you can say, your mom's heart is not in good shape. We got to get you to the hospital right now. Or we have to get everybody to the hospital right now. So it's more based in common sense than I think a lot of people realize. A doctor can say to a son of a patient, your mom's heart is not in good shape, unless the patient says, I don't want you telling anyone in my family that my heart isn't in good shape.
But that, you know, I don't want to get too arcane here,
sure,
but that really, if the son is with mom and mm-hmm. she's having heart trouble, or if the son drives mom to the doctor, or if they're, that situation, certainly I understand. But the doctor, by the same token, if I'm his patient, he can't call even my wife to tell him that I'm having a heart attack if I don't give him permission to do that.
That's right.
Or can he?
Well, again, you have to kind of go back to what's in the best interest of the patient. That's where the doctor.
So is that the driving force? Yeah. What's in the best interest?
Yeah. I mean, in the best interest of the patient, absent wishes to the contrary. So if you have a patient who is en route to the hospital, if you have a from your home care facility, right. say, you've got a patient who's en route to the hospital, you can call their kin and say, your mom's gone on the way to the hospital. Your mom's on her way to a local hospital. Here's the name of the local hospital. You can meet her there. You don't need to say, well, we've been talking for the last 30 minutes about how she has dementia and, you know, all these other comorbidities she might have. And, you know, let's continue talking about it. But you can meet her at the hospital and talk to everyone there who she wants you to talk to. She's on her way there.
Right.
Or if a patient calls, say, a nursing home and says, hey, is my mom there or an elder rehab facility? Is my mom there? A lot of times in the intake form, the patient at the rehab facility will sign off on saying, yes, you can tell people I'm here. Or no, you won't. You can't tell people I'm here. Or yes, you can tell people and here are the people you can tell. Or no, I don't want you telling this specific person that I'm here. Not to kind of get too confusing.
It's interesting because I'm thinking, I mean, I had a call literally right as I was leaving to come here for tonight's show mm-hmm. from, you know, and this is maybe a little beyond our scope of the conversation, but there's a family dysfunction. There's a problem. Sure. Sisters aren't getting along. One sister literally told mom that she was taking her on vacation and took her to an assisted living community.
Which could be a vacation. They're beautiful here, if we're being honest.
And this one that she went to is, in fact, beautiful. I'm very familiar with it. But the other sister knew nothing about it in the interim. While she was doing that, she sold the mother's house and got rid of all the equipment. And now the other sister, and I don't know which one's right, that, you know, family dysfunction always has three sides. The other daughter is now, you know, I know that she's at this community and I want somebody to go see her and tell her what her rights are. And I'm thinking, well, one, that isn't me. But more importantly, I said to her, you're lucky you found her, yeah. right? I mean, you're lucky that you were able to find her, because if you were thinking that she was there, they might not have been able to tell you.
No.
Right?
And that's true. I mean, there's so much confusion, even with these communities or healthcare providers. It's not just patients that are confused over what HIPAA can and can't tell you to do. It's a lot of times you'll call places and they'll say, well, I can't tell you because of HIPAA, which many times is right, but oftentimes isn't.
Yeah,
And what I tell our clients is, when you have someone calling and saying, hey, is there a person there? Is my mom there? And you don't feel comfortable saying yes or no, and the person that they're calling for is awake, just go ask.
Right.
Say, hey, your daughter is calling for you. I took down her phone number. Why don't you give her a call back?
Right.
Or not.
Right.
If the patient wants their rights protected, fine. Go ahead and protect them. But don't proactively protect. I mean, you can say, I don't know. We have a big facility. Hang up and have the patient call them back, or say to the patient, hey, this person called. Can I tell them that you're here?
Right.
You don't have to make every decision in a vacuum, especially when you've got, especially in this population of elderly patients who, you know, a lot of times they feel lost or they feel alone. They want to know that people are calling and trying to find them.
So I'm fascinated. I am truly fascinated about what is mm-hmm. Protected, what somebody who is subject to the regulations of HIPAA can tell people, what they can't tell people, what the greatest misunderstandings are, and maybe we can give a couple of examples when we come back. So if you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. And we're having a fascinating conversation about HIPAA. And again, it's one of those things that is pervasive throughout our entire medical interaction. We always hear about HIPAA. We sign a HIPAA release every time we go to the doctor or anywhere else that we go to a hospital, we sign HIPAA releases. I don't think any of us fully understands what we're signing, and we don't understand why the provider is asking us to sign it and what it means when we do sign it or if we don't. Those are all very important questions. I'm here with Jackie Bain. Jackie is an attorney who specializes in healthcare law. It is an unbelievably fascinating subject. She works for Florida Healthcare law firm. She's been doing this a very long time. She clearly, if you've been listening, knows her stuff. If you have questions about HIPAA, if you want to call us, you can. You can just call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition, and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a great day. If you're listening on 95.9, 106.9, and it's Monday night, it's live. We're on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, here tonight with Jackie Bain. Jackie is an attorney specializing in healthcare law. Specifically, we're talking about HIPAA. What is HIPAA? HIPAA is not necessarily precisely what we thought it was, and if you've been listening since the beginning, you understand that not everybody is subject to HIPAA. Now I kind of want to focus with Jackie on what is protected information, because I think people don't grasp that at all. I know, sure. I don't. So
yeah. So what HIPAA is, it's the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, and what it does is it provides a process for safe disclosure of your, quote, protected health information. Protected health information is a term that's defined in the law, but basically it's any individually identifiable information about an individual. So my name is Jackie Bain. That is obviously identifiable information about me. But if you're talking about Jackie B., then it's not necessarily identifiable information.
Right.
Jay Bain, they consider to be identifiable. Jay Bain at my address is identifiable.
Definitely.
just bane at the address that I live is identifiable. So you have to kind of think about it as if you can deduce very quickly who the individual is, that is your protected health information, just starting with names. Your medical record is identifiable information about you. Your diagnoses, your lab results as they come back, anything like that, that's all protected health information. It's basically anything your doctor, your mental health counselor, your social worker creates as part of the encounter that they have with a patient when the patient shows up to get treatment. That's your protected health information.
So using that, because the optimum word in what you said is health information.
Sure.
Oftentimes, any information is unwilling to be disclosed by a provider, and that isn't HIPAA protected. So can you give us any examples of something that a physician or a provider might know that isn't protected by HIPAA?
There's something called de-identified information that a lot of times providers will gather in order to kind of understand their patient population a little bit better. If you've got a gerontologist, obviously they treat an older generation, an older population, and they'll want to know what percentage of their patients have maybe mental health afflictions or have heart afflictions. And what they'll do is they'll extract data from their health records in order to kind of learn more about the patient population as a whole. That is kind of the biggest what isn't protected information, because it's de-identified. But for the most part, anything that's part of your health record is protected.
So, because I've been confronted with this. I'm taking care of somebody on a regular basis. A daughter who is not the healthcare surrogate picks up the phone, calls, and says, "You know, Mom really likes Marie. I mean, she's having a good time. What did they do together the other day? Where'd they go yesterday?"
Oh, sure.
Can I tell them that?
Yeah, if it's not health information, sure.
So if it's not health information,
yeah.
So the optimum word in understanding this is health. So I could say, "I took them to the mall. They had a great time."
Right.
Or I'll ask it another way, because this has also happened to us. If two siblings who are fighting, all right, one calls and says, "My brother said you did this, but I told him you'd only do this," and it's not health related, I can still have that conversation
as well?
You can,
yeah. I mean, the idea behind HIPAA is to protect health information, not kind of social information. So
bed bugs. Right? I know, I'm reaching.
I know.
But I'm asking because so many times I will ask, I'll ask a facility if we're seeing somebody, some kind of benign information, like, you know, are they down in the dining room every day, or are they eating in their room? And they, I can't talk to you about that, you know.
Well, there could be other confidentiality that they want for their patients,
right.
but it wouldn't be HIPAA.
It wouldn't be HIPAA protected.
Right.
So we are talking about medical HIPAA, and again, this is anybody that has access to health records or needs to perhaps share those records, because I know you might want to share it with a long-term care insurance company, or you might want to talk with your Medicare or your managed care program or whatever it is.
Well, Medicare is covered by HIPAA. Medicare is a HIPAA entity, right? So they're subject to HIPAA. Life insurance companies are not subject to HIPAA.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I just blew your mind there,
wow.
Right? So employers are not subject to HIPAA. There might be other protections in place, but they're not subject to, say, HIPAA. If they have all of their people go down maybe for a blood drive or something like that, they're not subject to HIPAA. They don't have to do anything with the information.
But if I know something about somebody's health condition that maybe they're seeing a therapist or they're doing, and I know that, and I'm an employer that has no health related business, I am not subject to that confidentiality?
Correct. The counselor is the counselor who's providing
sure
the
right
visits.
I understand
and,
that right.
And
the
for the record
professional
yeah
is, right.
For the record, I should put out there that mental health records are what I call, and I don't, this is not a defined term or any kind of specific term, I call them super privileged. You have super privileged information that is protected even more than just health information. That's like HIV or AIDS status and mental health information. Those
right.
those you need you need special disclosures from the patient before you start handing those out, even to other healthcare providers.
Which I know is really a reach, but that goes to some of the mental health issues with kids at schools that have been
sure.
identified as risk. So if you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg here tonight with Jackie Bain. Jackie is an attorney at the Florida Healthcare Law Firm. She is a specialist in healthcare law. We're talking about HIPAA tonight. HIPAA is one of those things that we're all confronted with and few of us really understand. We are getting a better handle on it tonight. I know I am. I hope you are too. If you are a regular listener, you know that we're here every Monday night on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast, every Monday live from 6 to 7. We're glad that you are with us. If you're a new listener, thanks for finding us. We hope that you stay and come back. We talk each week about issues that confront the boomer population and their parents, and sometimes even their kids. And as you will hear, this does, and we're going to tell you a story in just a minute about that. But if you have any questions about HIPAA or anything else that you'd like to ask me, it's easy. All you have to do is call us, 1-877-960-9960, 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're here with us tonight. We hope you had a great day. We hope you're driving carefully. We know it's dry, and that is a pleasurable change. I'm here tonight with Jackie Bain. Jackie is an attorney from the Florida Healthcare Law Firm. She is an expert in healthcare law, and healthcare law is a lot more complex than we would give it credit for. One of the most complex areas is HIPAA compliance. We have spent the previous segment in the show kind of understanding what HIPAA is and does, what is protected information versus what isn't protected information. And then again, some people who are bound by HIPAA and others who are not. I want to ask Jackie, you know, every one of us has heard the story of a friend of ours whose kid may be in college, Now they turned 18 while they're away, or maybe they turned 18 before they went away. They're away at North Carolina. You're here in Florida. They get in a car accident, rush to the hospital. Mom calls the hospital, and the hospital says, I can't talk to you.
Yeah.
Right? And they can't, can they?
Well, yes and no. Again, we always have to go back to what's in the best interest of the patient. If you've got a kid and the kid is in bad shape or even medium bad shape, we'll say, unless the person, the patient, says to you, don't tell my mom, when the mom calls the hospital and says, hey, is my kid there? Is my son there? For the most part, the hospital can say yes, but it's my son. I'm his mother. I need to find him. You know, here's my son. Here's how I know him. It's not like we've had situations in the past where, say, a pro football player blows off his finger playing with fireworks,
right,
and you have news outlets calling the hospital to say, hey, is so-and-so there?
Right.
And the hospital says, well, yeah, he is. That's a HIPAA breach. But if you say, my son, Joe Smith, date of birth, you know, January 1st, 1980, is in your hospital, is that true? The hospital can confirm if they believe that they're acting in the best interest of the patient and not necessarily in the best interest of the media. And that's got to be, I always like to say, get the doctor involved. I know the doctors in emergency rooms are super busy, but if the doctor thinks it's in the best interest of the patient to disclose where the patient is and the patient hasn't given contrary advice, don't tell my mom I'm here, don't tell my mom I got drunk and had to have my stomach pumped, then the doctor can say, you know, yes. Or if the patient is conscious, even better, the doctor can say, we're not going to confirm or deny, and then have the patient call the mom back. That's the best course of action for anybody, even in a personal relationship, as opposed to the HIPAA relationship that we're kind of talking about here.
And many times it could be life. The ability to disclose information could be life and death.
That's
because
true.
There may be a health condition that the kid has that he's unwilling to disclose to the physician or forgets to a physician, or frankly, in a senior community, when they bring somebody through 911 to the hospital, and the doc would be much better off knowing what medications
that's true
they were on there. So common sense can prevail, even if it is technically in violation.
I mean, it's not technically in violation if it's in the doctor's best, you know, best good interest to
right.
treat the patient.
Right.
At the end of the day, healthcare laws, and HIPAA included, they are monstrous and
right.
mammoth, and nobody understands them. But doctors take an oath that says, first, do no harm.
Right.
And if you're taking a patient's privacy more serious than you are a patient's life, then there's an issue there. That's not to say that the doctors should go around disclosing everything they can about a patient. It's got to be limited.
Just enough to get them over the hurdle that they're confronting at that moment.
Yeah, and again, you have to kind of always go back to common sense. If you go to the website that the government put out about HIPAA, HIPAA's governed by something called the Office of Civil Rights, OCR.
I was going to ask you who oversees compliance.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, so they oversee compliance with HIPAA. They're who providers need to report to in the event that they think there's a breach. And what they do is they've got FAQs, frequently asked questions, all over their website. And if you just look through those questions and the answers, they almost always go back to, yes, you can disclose if,
right.
Or no, you shouldn't disclose when. And the thing is, when you look at those, a lot of them are really old, but they're still there and they haven't changed. You got to see where the government is kind of pointing you to. And it's always in the best interest of the patient's health, not necessarily, you know, if you've got health versus privacy or life versus privacy, they're going to go with life.
So you had an interesting thing happen to you, I think, today, right?
Yeah.
About somebody who thinks it's a HIPAA violation,
yeah.
but maybe
well,
it isn't.
But here's the thing. We had a call. I had a call from a client a potential client who actually didn't wind up becoming a client because of what, I guess, the story I'm about to tell. But a person called and said, I was out in my community and I heard that my doctor was telling people that I owed him money. And what do I do? And so the question is, the person says, I want to sue him. And there really isn't a private cause of action, which means you can't really sue someone. You can make a complaint about them to the people who enforce HIPAA and the people who enforce FIPA if you or the doctor is located in Florida, or you and the doctor are located in Florida. So you complain to OCR, which is the federal government, if you believe that your HIPAA rights are violated. And if you believe your FIPA rights were violated, then you complain to the state's attorney's office. And that's through
No healthcare violation in that story, except that he was a patient.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. The fact that he's a patient is the violation.
That's the healthcare violation, yeah. But that he owed him money was not.
Right.
So if somebody said to the dentist, hey, I heard Joe Smith goes to see you every day, he says, yeah, that son of a bitch owes me money.
Well, you've got kind of two breaches there. You've got a breach of HIPAA, right? You're confirming that somebody's a patient when you're not acting in the best interest of the patient there at all.
Right.
And second, the doctor's breaching doctor-patient confidentiality, which is even overarching over HIPAA.
Wow. This is so interesting. When we come back, we're going to talk about what to do if there is a breach. We're going to talk about how you can fix it. How expensive is it? We have so much more. I also want to talk about the rest of Jackie's practice because it's there. We're, as usually happens to me, we're going to run out of time. I want to talk about unexpected violations, which is something that you don't even realize you're doing. There's an interesting example of that, one that you're going to want to listen to, about how your doctor sends you your test results, perhaps. Mm. So we have a lot on our plate with Jackie Bain, who is an attorney with the Florida Healthcare Law Firm. She is an expert in healthcare law, and as you can tell, she's really an expert in HIPAA. I, of course, am Scott Greenberg, and I'm an expert in taking a break on time. So if you have any questions for Jackie, you can give us a call, and we'll be happy to answer them at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. I'm here tonight with Jackie Bain, Jacqueline Bain is her proper name, but Jackie Bain. And that is a HIPAA violation if I were her doctor, but I'm not, so we're all gay. But she is an attorney with the Florida Healthcare Law Firm, a specialist in healthcare law. She is talking mostly tonight about HIPAA, although we are going to talk about other things that our firm does before the show ends. One of the things that I'm curious about, Jackie, is there can be inadvertent disclosure in violation of this. I told you the story, but I'll tell the audience. I was somewhere with my wife and somebody was confirming her weight and then said, oops, because she had been admonished before for having said a woman's weight while her husband was in the room, and she took hell for that. So there are inadvertent disclosures, voicemails and things like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, in that situation, it's not really an inadvertent disclosure. If you are in the room with your wife who is getting a medical exam, the assumption is that you are able to be privy to whatever the doctor, what she's telling the doctor or the MA or the nurse who's in with her, and vice versa. She can always ask you to step out of the room if you have got a particularly sensitive subject. So that's not really an inadvertent disclosure. But we do have cases where, you know, we get a call from a provider saying, oh, a patient called me and they're really upset because, you know, their wife didn't know that I went in for this. My wife didn't know that they went in for this test and now they're getting a bill for it. And, you know, bills that go through the mail, as long as they're in an unmarked envelope, are fine. But we did get a call once where a bill went out and it was on a branded envelope that said the name of the provider on the outside. It was a provider that a patient didn't necessarily want his or her spouse to see because it was a provider that the spouse didn't know that this person had this affliction. In that case, you know, you have to use common sense. So when you are sending out a bill first time, you can send it out in a branded envelope. But if a patient tells you proactively, I don't want my spouse to know that I was here, then you send it out in a white envelope. There's got to be a note in the file that says that. Again, you have just think about what the patient wants. And the patient will tell you if they're really so concerned about maybe being at the cardiologist, they don't want their wife to know that they had a heart hiccup or something like that, that they want, you know, my wife would kill me for being here or my wife would kill me for not telling her that I'm here, things like that. So you've got to listen. And that's one thing that doctors, nurses, MAs, they're all trained to do. They're listening.
So you've already told us who oversees HIPAA, but If there's a violation or a breach, what do you do?
Yeah.
It depends
a great
on
question.
Who you are, I guess, right?
I mean, the first thing, if you think that your health information has been breached, call the doctor who you think it might have happened to. If it happened to you, it likely happened to other people, the doctor's got to start to conduct an investigation as soon as they know or should know that there was a breach. And, you know, do yourself a service and do the doctor a service by letting them know, hey, I think that this happened. You know, let the doctor have a chance to respond. The doctor will investigate. They've got a certain amount of time to do it. If they've got a good lawyer, their lawyer will tell them at the end of the investigation to let you know what they came up with, because that's the worst, is when you register a complaint and it kind of vanishes into the ether and you have no idea what happened to it. And that's where you get a lot of the whistleblower complaints and things like that from. They never heard of what happened, so they continued on their path of telling people. So first things first, tell the doctor. Let the doctor investigate and come back to you with a result of some kind. If it's a breach and you don't think the doctor's done anything about it, in the state of Florida, on the Consumer Protection website, state Consumer Protection website, there's a phone number for you to call if you think there was a FIPA violation. Or you can always go on to the OCR website. If you Google HIPAA OCR, it will take you right to the complaint page and you can register a complaint. There's not a whole lot else you can do in terms of you can't sue a doctor. There's no private cause of action under FIPA for you to sue because there was a breach of your information. But if you are the complainant, then you got to kind of let the government take it from there.
And the penalties on the provider side are exorbitant,
they're
right? They're enormous.
They're huge.
So nobody violates HIPAA on purpose, right?
Well, I mean, hopefully not.
Right. So you obviously are an expert at this. How do people reach you?
Oh, well, you know, the normal ways, smoke signals and, you know, no, just kidding. You can always call our office. It's 561-455-7700. That's our main line. And then emails. Our website has a great comments form you can submit to get to us through that. We have a blog. We put out a newsletter every month. It's mostly geared towards providers, but sometimes geared towards consumers as well. Take a look at it. Get on our mailing list. You know, we try to keep people as updated and informed as we can.
So give people your website and your phone number again.
Okay. Website is www.floridahealthcarelawfirm.com. And the phone number is 561-455-7700.
If you just tune in, you're going to be sorry you missed the show because this has been really fascinating. We've been talking about HIPAA violations, HIPAA law, who it affects, who it doesn't affect, what is protected information, what isn't protected information, common misunderstandings, although I guess we didn't really drill down on those. There are others. The good news, though, is if you missed it and you're sorry you did, you can listen. You know how you can listen? We podcast the show, so tomorrow it'll be up on the platforms. All you have to do is search OMG, I am getting. Up we will pop. You can listen to this show or to any others of ours, and we encourage you to do that. You can even subscribe. If you're not a podcaster, you can go to our website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com, palmbeach.comfortcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. .com. Don't put a T in there. I know you want to. I know it's hard not to, but if you do, you won't reach us. And just search for the radio button, and there we are. Of course, you may not have a radio at home. Many of us do not, but we do all have smartphones, and there is an app for you to listen. You can go download TuneIn Radio and just select WSVU. Those are the station's call letters, WSVU, and you can set a reminder to listen every Monday night at 6 o'clock because we are here talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Of course, we also simulcast locally around the country and around the world at www.trueoldiesfla.com. Next week, a fascinating show with a very interesting guy. Charlie Ring's going to be here. Who's Charlie Ring? Charlie is a passionate advocate for facilitating end-of-life conversations through a nonprofit charity that he formed called Let's Talk Soon. I promise you, you'll love Charlie, and you're going to learn a whole lot about why it may be really important for you to get motivated to have that conversation with your loved one about what your plans are for your end of life. Really, really important, and Charlie is just a wonderful guy. You'll love him. In 2 weeks, a very special physician is going to be here, Dr. Casey Cohn, KC, two letters. KC Cohn will be here. She was a guest a couple of years ago, and she's both unbelievably smart and engaging, but more importantly, full of very valuable information. She specializes in a specific area of cancer care at Good Samaritan Hospital, but we're really going to talk about new developments in robotic surgery that is game-changing in helping people get better treatment with less invasive surgery for cancer and for other diseases. Dr. Casey Cohn, you will not want to miss her. For those of you who want to come to a support group for Alzheimer's, don't forget Pacifica Senior Living this Thursday at 2, Barrington this Friday also at 2, and Artists at the end of the month. I will give you that before the end of the month again. But I am still here with Jackie Bain. Jackie is an attorney at the Florida Healthcare Law Firm, talking about HIPAA. I have so much more to ask you about HIPAA, but I think it would be unfair to have you here and not tell the audience some of the other things that you and your law firm specialize in.
Sure.
So tell us about that.
Oh, okay. So we're the Florida Healthcare Law Firm. We're located in Delray Beach, but we service most of the state of Florida. We also have attorneys who are licensed in states like California, and I myself am also licensed in the state of New York. So we do a lot of healthcare transactional work, and what that means is we do contracts for physicians, for healthcare providers, for marketers who work in the healthcare space, billing companies. We do a lot of employment agreements and mergers and acquisitions and things like that, because when you're selling a healthcare business or buying a healthcare business, there's a lot more regulation that goes into it than a normal healthcare business. So we kind of work to make sure that all of the agencies who need to be on notice are on notice. We can either handle the transaction for you, or we can complement your normal business attorney, whoever you're working with. We also do a lot of payer-provider interactions. I don't do that personally, but we have at least 2.5 attorneys who do. and what they do is, if a insurance company puts a red flag on a provider for whatever reason, they think that there might be some shady billing practices going on or overutilization of certain codes, we would work with the payer to kind of help you through it. And that's kind of the core of our business, are those two areas.
That's very fascinating. Yeah. So you represent providers, insurance companies, healthcare companies,
mm-hmm.
patients too, or not that much?
Not that much, honestly. Mostly because it would conflict us out from representing our core, which is the providers.
That makes perfect sense. So, you know, we don't have a lot of time left. I have a whole host of more questions. There's a lot of misunderstanding about HIPAA. So I guess, you know, to kind of circle the loop here, what's the most common misunderstanding, and what should people know about HIPAA that they don't know that is in fact the most important?
From my perspective, and someone who lectures on this all the time, it's that HIPAA is not a privilege for a healthcare provider to hide behind. They can't say, I can't tell you that because of HIPAA. It's more of a, let me see how I can tell you that, or if I can tell you that, let me look into HIPAA. It's a process for disclosing healthcare information, not a wall to hide behind. So you have to start from the area of everything's confidential and move forward from that, rather than kind of shirk behind it. And it's an important distinction to make, because it puts a positive spin on something that's been given such a negative spin.
Right.
And you want to find a path to disclosure if you can and when you can. And most of the time, it just involves asking the patient. So many times healthcare providers say, I can't tell you that because of HIPAA. The patient never even knows somebody was asking.
That's really interesting. So people have questions about this or anything else that you do. One more time, how do they reach you?
So our telephone number, we're located in Delray Beach, is 561-455-7700. Or our website has the rest of our contact information. That's www.floridahealthcarelawfirm.com.
And her name is Jacqueline Bain, Jackie Bain, 455-7700. Jackie, you're a very fascinating guest. I can't thank you enough for being here. I'm so glad that Joe Karp introduced us.
That's true. Joe's a great guy.
Yeah, he introduced us. I'm glad that I got to meet you, and I'm glad that you were able to join us tonight, because the information that you gave is really incredibly valuable.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun.
This is my pleasure. It really is. Anyway, if you're a new listener, we're glad that you joined us tonight. Of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here every Monday night at 6 o'clock on 95.9 on the Palm Beaches. Also, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We rebroadcast the show on Sunday mornings at 7. So if you miss us tonight, you can get us there. Again, of course, available podcast on our website. On TuneIn Radio, there are so many ways you can hear us. You have no excuses. So if your radio's off, turn it on and tune in. But anyway, every Monday night, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Please come back next week when my guest will be Charlie Ring, talking about end-of-life conversation. Let's talk soon. Let's talk next Monday night. So to the rest of you, have a good night. We'll see you next week. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg. Have a great week, everybody, and stay dry.